Hi, everyone. I am Brandon Sewell, owner of Seal Pro Painting in Central Florida and the host of the Off the Ladder podcast. We exist to help home service business owners learn so that they can lead well and ultimately live life off of the ladder. I'm excited about today's guest. His name is Daniel. He's actually local to my market. However, he runs a moving and logistics company. The name of his company is Tropic Moving. They do residential and commercial moving, storage, and junk removal. He has been in business for 7 years. His primary business or area that he serves is Brevard, and then he also serves some of Indian River County and East Orlando. He has 8 employees. And down here is a quick little bio. Dan has a wife, 2 kids, 8 and 6, and 2 dogs. Currently living in Melbourne, Florida, his hobbies include sports with the kids, professional sports, working out, fitness, and personal development, lifelong learning. He enjoys building his businesses, training and developing employees, and building a great company culture. His mission at Tropic Moving is building a first-class organization for his employees to provide superior service for their customers. Welcome to the podcast, Daniel.
Thanks, sir. Thanks for keeping me in mind to be on.
Yeah, for sure. So I actually came across your business years ago, and I was intrigued by your company. I had seen Tropic Moving like everywhere on social media. I'd see your trucks. I really liked your branding. I could see like the company culture through the things that you're putting out on like social media and stuff. And so that's what really, caused me to reach out to you. You know, we actually got together and met up, last week? And so it was nice to meet you in person and learn a little bit more about your business and hear what you guys are doing. And it's exciting to have you on here to talk about all things business. I wanted to point out in your bio, you talked about, fitness, and I actually, did an interview yesterday with a guy, and we talked a lot about the importance of, personal, development, working on yourself physically, those personal disciplines that help prepare you to like be a better leader and business owner and how that kind of translates. And I saw you posted a picture of you deadlifting like some crazy weight. So you used to do powerlifting, right?
Yeah, I got into this picture behind me. It's Franco Colombo. It was Arnold Schwarzenegger's best friend, one of my favorite powerlifters. So I got into powerlifting and bodybuilding kind of right after high school, transitioned out of, high school sports, looking for an outlet to still stay fit and have something with, keep that competitive edge. So I got into first bodybuilding and then kind of naturally powerlifting. And it was kind of along the lines of, self-improvement, keep yourself fit, and then, hitting those short-term and long-term goals as far as fitness and health.
Yeah. I've noticed like for myself that whenever I wasn't in the gym, because there was a season where like I got lazy and I wasn't going to the gym regularly, and that really affected my mental health and just me personally. And so I know that now that I've been back in the gym for, I don't know, it's probably been a few years now, it helps me so much just mentally. And giving me like mental strength to be able to be a better leader and business owner. So I think it's really, really important for business owners to make sure that they're, staying in the gym, staying fit, staying healthy, and making that a priority, because it definitely translates to our performance in business. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely part of, staying well-rounded as far as success goes, just that away from work success and everything else falls in place as well, as far as the healthy eating and just general healthy habits.
Yeah, it all kind of works hand in hand. So that's whenever I like create my goals personally, a big part of that is going to revolve around personal fitness and my personal health and things like that. So for those who are listening to this, could you share a little bit more about how you got into the industry and how you eventually started your own moving and logistics company?
Yeah, so I was grew up in Merritt Island and went to what was then BCC, did my AA degree, finished up there, and then transferred over to USF in Tampa. And I was actually working at Carrabba's, and I was supposed to transfer over, and didn't really want to do it, never showed up. And about 6 months later, I was like, man, I really need a job. And one of my friends from high school, who I was spending a good amount of time with, was like, hey, come, you know, work at this place I'm working at, and we need, you know, some strong guys. And I really didn't even know what it was at the time, that it was a moving company or what moving companies were. So I just, you know, showed up and started working, and ended up being there for about 6 years, where I, you know, worked my way up from mover on the truck to driver, you know, helped manage the warehouse, moved into the office from, you know, kind of service rep, and just worked my way up the ladder to, you know, general manager. And you know, it's pretty much as far as like the day-to-day goes, you know, running the business over there. So, you know, I had a pretty well-versed experience on everything from, you know, hiring to management to sales. And 2017, my wife and I decided to move back to the area, and really wasn't sure what I wanted to do at that point. It was, you know, transition phase, and you know, always wanted to be in business for myself and live that entrepreneurial dream. And you know, didn't really know what to do, and I was like, well, I guess I'll give this a shot. And so just started out just renting trucks and just kind of, you know, getting a few moves scheduled here or there. It was like August 2017, so just renting a truck, you know, find a helper or two by whatever means at that point. And you know, I had a couple of guys kind of working part-time, so I'd go pick up the truck, had a, you know, a helper, and just kind of, you know, kept building it up. And so that was about September, started out, so kind of went into our slow season, so that was kind of a good time to be, you know, building up into next year's busy season in my mind. So I, you know, built up over slow season. We ended up buying our own truck right around it was like February, March, and just, you know, started building up a consistent enough workflow to have a truck. And that was when, you know, I was able to bring a crew on and, you know, start sending that truck and crew out regularly, where we had a, you know, more of a full-time work to have a crew on, that they had, you know, full-time hours for the week to be able to sustain them. So.
Sure. It's funny. I started my business like right around the same time. My wife and I moved back from Maryland actually to actually Orlando, and started the process of getting the business off the ground in August of 2017 as well. So that's pretty funny. Now, as far as, you know, starting a business goes, what are some of, for those who are listening to this, you know, you mentioned kind of going through that process of growing to the point where you could get guys and, you know, transition eventually, right, to where you're not needed out in the field all the time. For somebody who's listening to this and they're wondering, like, what do I need to do to go from, you know, I started my business, I'm getting some momentum. How do you recommend going about that transition from being out there all the time to hiring employees and then entrusting and delegating to them? Like, what kind of things did you do to make that happen?
It was, you know, really just a natural progression for me to grow the business, where it was like, you know, you don't have enough time to be marketing, running jobs, and stuff like that. So, you know, what worked well for me was I was able to kind of schedule an extra guy for my crews. So every trade is probably a little bit different. So my moving. It's like the jobs have to get done then. It's very a very tight time frame. So it's not like, I imagine even in painting, if a guy doesn't show up, you might be a little bit behind, but you may be able to kind of make up that labor on another day. Whereas moving, it's like if you can't move somebody on a certain day, they need to get it done. They're going to be calling around, finding somebody to get out, and they have to get it done. So, if we had guys not showing up or stuff like that, we're going to automatically start losing work. So what I did was had an extra, basically scheduled an extra guy. So if it was, we had a two-man crew scheduled for a move, I would just, go out as a third guy on the crew. And I was able to manage the job, make sure that we're still, providing a high service level, and everything's getting done the way I want it done. And able to kind of see how the guys were able to kind of pick it up, where they needed help, training and stuff like that. And just kind of worked my way off where I was able to even, basically run the office from the field. So take calls, log in and get estimates worked up or something if I need to, where a customer's not like, hey, this guy, I'm paying for this guy's time and he's excuse me, on the phone or not working. Excuse me. And did that a little at a time to where we started to build up those processes and stuff of and where I used to work, we were very franchise oriented and having standard operating procedures. So gradually started building those up of checklists for the guys when they come in, what they need to do to get the truck ready, how we want to start a job when we get there, greet the customer, paperwork, stuff like that. So we created a lot of trainings as far as showing the guys just kind of the procedures, how we want it done, and checklists, which are good to kind of really break down exactly what you need done. And we use a lot of we use Google basically to kind of track stuff. So we have Google Forms and some G Suite options that help us get feedback from the guys, get check-ins, so we can check when the guys are clocking in, kind of tracking what's being done, getting customer feedback and stuff. So, make sure those processes, procedures are followed, make sure the guys are doing them, and getting customer feedback to, make sure things are going well, because that's the at the end of the day, the service is what we're providing. So that, making sure that gets done at a high level consistently is the goal.
Now, would you say that there were if you talk to a lot of guys who are or gals who are out running their business, they're working in the field all the time. Some of the questions that I'll see on different contractor forums or service business owner forums and stuff like that online, a lot of the questions that'll come up is, when is the right time to hire? Or I feel like I need to hire, but I'm afraid. Were there any obstacles that you had to overcome in your mindset or fears that you had to overcome to get to that point where you were ready to hire and bring on those employees? Could you speak to that a little bit and maybe encourage those business owners out there who are wanting to make those first hires, but maybe they have they're hesitant or they're not sure if they're ready or they're just have a mindset block? What would you say to them? To encourage them to hire.
I mean, number one is just have a strong team. You got to have the right guys. So if you don't feel comfortable sending the guys out that you have without you, you might not have the right guys. So that might be, go take a step back, rebuild your team. If you can't trust somebody to do the job that you want, the way you need it done, take payment, handle cash, stuff like that. If you can't trust the guys, you need to, take a look in the mirror and, who are these guys working for you? Do you have a good enough team to do that? So just building that team is really key to say, hey, this guy's got my back, I trust him. Our three themes that we're pushing for the year are, professional, reliable, trustworthy, and that's what we're looking for in our guys. If they meet those three standards, that pretty much covers everything. They're professional, they represent the brand well, they're reliable, they're going to show up, we're not going to have any service failures, and they're trustworthy. I trust you to handle my equipment. I trust you to, take everything out for the day. Because providing a service, we have guys out in vehicles with all of our equipment, tens of thousands of dollars in a vehicle, not even including the vehicle, that
Right.
they're, driving around town every day. So, pretty high level of liability, and having the right guys is really key, and a strong team that has your back, you can trust, and that's what I think helps really grow a solid organization.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and I think in the beginning, you're not going to be great at that, right? Like, when you make some of your first hires, they're probably not going to be the best. You're probably going to make mistakes. You're probably going to have make some wrong judgments about people's character. And there's going to be like flawed processes in your hiring. But as you go along, you learn and you develop your recruiting and hiring process, and that gets better, and you get better at finding the right people. You learn from mistakes and failures. I think, like, if I was to say anything to someone who's listening to this, like afraid to make a hire, it's, one, you just have to start and you just have to do it and do it afraid, and then you're going to get better. Mistakes, they're going to happen, but it's not the end of the world. It's how you handle it. Like, I've made mistakes and I've failed in my business, but we still have an excellent reputation because when those mistakes and things happen, you just handle them with integrity, and you treat the customer how you would want to be treated, and it's not like mistakes and failures are the end of the world. It's just how you handle them that makes the biggest difference. So I would just encourage you, if you're needing to make that first hire, just start. Get started, and then you'll get better at it as time goes on.
Yeah, we're constantly refining, our what we want out of people. And another point too is when you're hiring, I've found ourselves trying to force somebody, not force, but get somebody to take on responsibilities that, they might not be have the skills for yet. And we try to kind of get them in a role that they might not be well suited for, just out of a need that we have. And long term, wasn't looking back, it may not have been the best decision. So just making sure you really have the right guys to build on. And that's definitely a key to surround yourself with a strong team though.
Yeah, and I don't know if you guys have this in place, but like, we have very specific questions that we ask, people who apply for positions here that help us to figure out, what kind of character they have, how do they work in teams, how do they handle failure, how do they handle conflict, and it shows us their character. So then we're more informed when we make those hires. It's not just bringing in warm bodies, right? It's having that system in place to really pick the right people. Let's kind of transition. I know you talked about, coming from the franchise, I guess model, you would say, for another moving company, and how important systems and processes are. How soon did you start to get all of that implemented into your business, and how does it help to, equip your employees for what they do day to day, and like your daily operations? And what are some of the things you have in place to just help things run smoothly? Are you a home service business owner? Do you have a strategic way to get reviews for your business on Google, Facebook, and other platforms? If you don't, then you need to implement NiceJob. Since implementing NiceJob, we have grown our reviews from 10 all the way up to over 60 reviews online in less than a year. If you're interested in using this feature in your business and growing your Google My Business reviews, then click on the link in the show notes and sign up for a free trial of Nice Job. And let me know if you sign up so I can help you to implement it and get a strategy in place with your team to get more reviews so you can start winning on Google and beating out your competition locally.
As far as our specific processes.
Yeah, like SOPs, you said you guys, like your standard operating procedures. Do you guys have like KPIs for, you know, like different roles? Like if you have like your, I don't know what you would call them in the moving industry, like whether it's like your lead guy and then like the guys that come under them, do they have like, you know, clear performance metrics for their position? What kind of things do you have like that in place to run the operational side of the business?
So yeah, we have usually guys are going out in, you know, 2 or 3 person crews where we have a crew lead and then, you know, 2 movers for the day who are, you know, helping out, and the crew leads, you know, taking care of payment, running the show for the day and driving the truck and those things. So each position has their own checklist of, you know, what they need to do pre-job. So when they come in the warehouse, they're prepping the truck, making sure everything is in the truck and they're prepared for the day. Crew lead is responsible for, you know, paperwork, driving the truck. So they have a separate checklist of kind of management tasks that they need to do. So we keep those checklists out in the warehouse so they can reference it if they need to. And as well as if a new guy comes in, it's like, hey, mover morning checklist, you know, these 10 things. So if they forget, they can just look right at the wall and know what they need to be doing. And,
right.
And then when they go out, a little bit tougher to have, you know, every move's kind of different. So we really don't have a you know, job operating procedure just because we never know what we're really going to come across. And it's hard to say, you know, do it this way. So we have some general ways that we train on just, you know, how to moving technique and stuff like that. And then the crew leads kind of get that going, but we really focus on kind of pre-post job, where, you know, they paperwork's the only thing that's really required to get done when they're out there, and then they get back and it's kind of the reverse, you know, checking in the equipment back in, materials, cleaning the truck out, and again just kind of, you know, focus on checklists. We have we use WhatsApp for like crew groups for the day, so we have guys send in photo updates, so they can send in like a photo update of kind of have them send in the back of the truck. So like how they're packing the truck for the day. So we could see kind of, you know, make sure they're following procedures, check that. And, you know, me being in the industry can pull quite a bit of information just from looking at the back of the truck on kind of how the job's going. So
sure.
We have that. And then the guys, you know, again, send check-ins kind of when they get back on that post checklist of put your stuff away, and then they send photo updates of back of the truck, make sure it's neat, tidy. They pulled all the stuff off the truck for the day, and then a second picture that they, you know, padlock the trucks up, and then our crew leads have forms that they fill out at the end of the day as well. So it's just a feedback form, kind of see how the day went, make sure everything went smoothly, you know, see about that's usually feedback we use for, you know, doing follow-ups in the office. So hey, did the job go well? Can we follow up, try to get a review? You know, did it maybe not go so well? Did something get damaged? And can we, you know, get a repair guy out there, get it fixed up for them, and, you know, take care of any potential issues they may have had, and just, you know, be proactive in reaching out. So kind of processes and check-ins and checklists throughout the day are mainly what we use.
Yeah, that's good. I think one of the keys to running a successful home service business and also having, you know, building something that doesn't require you in the field is, one, creating clear expectation. So making sure that whoever is working for you understands exactly what they need to get done. So that's, I think it's great that you use checklists, and I think that it's important for, you know, any industry to use checklists for their employees, just because it's easy to miss stuff. But then accountability. So it's like okay, here's what's expected of you, and then have like a process for holding your employees accountable to what they're supposed to be doing. And that's why I believe that systems and processes in your business is so important, especially if you want to get out of the field. Like, you don't want to be required out there doing everything every day. It's like you have to have these systems in place, like checklists and all that, so that people can go and do something without you there to like micromanage them. And speak to a little bit from the like the leadership standpoint. You've mentioned, you know, you want to build a company that has a great culture. What are some of your ideas? What are some of the things that you're trying to do and accomplish to build a company that has a great culture, that has, you know, this brand that is like attractive to employees and customers? What are some of your thoughts on that and what you're doing?
Yes, that's one of our main focuses that as of late we've really been trying to double down on is really creating a great place to work where the job the moving job is difficult. So how do we make a great work environment where the guys feel comfortable and we're not making it harder, because I started doing this when I was 20 years old, and I really saw the whole process from every perspective of mover, crew lead, then flip the script, and I was the one now taking the calls and sending guys out. So I have every perspective on it. And I always tell the guys, like, I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking 100% of the time. Like, I promise you that. So I really know how the guys tick. I really know how everything works, the dynamics flow between crew and customers. And so just try to make things as simple as possible for the guys. I know what be flexible on scheduling. So we have a pretty flexible request off process where it's like, hey, you guys need some time off, let us know. We'll get it in, we'll schedule it in. So we're never, try to stay flexible. We have trying to do some incentives as far as like bonuses, extra money, kind of performance-based bonuses. So the guys know, hey, if we're pushing materials, we're selling X amount of materials or something, we can get a bonus, bonuses on, review bonuses for the month. If we hit a certain amount of, 5-star reviews from the jobs you ran, that'll trigger a bonus, stuff like that. We added in, some PTO last year, for some guys that have been here for a while. So now that we've, kind of post-COVID have gotten our feet back under us, and they've been able to retain some guys, for two, 3 years now. We've had a few of our guys with us, so trying to take care of them, create a reliable, sustainable job that they can stay at. And part of having a good job is having an income you can survive on, and create a career track where they can learn, develop, and eventually move up to crew lead manager. Kind of do what I did, work your way through a company and have a track. So just really focusing on the guys, and that lately has come down to skill building, where we're focusing a little bit on individual skills. So some major ones are leadership and communication. We're letting the guys know how they need to communicate with each other, with the crew, with the office, as well as the client for the day. So just really teaching skills, why it's important, and the office's perspective on things, client's perspective on things for the day, as well as leadership, and making sure we have a strong leadership, which starts with me. So what are the qualities of a good leader, and how are we going to exhibit those every day, and have that trickle down the organization, where we have guys come in that see that leadership and know there's a standard's been set, and they can follow that and see that we have a quality organization, we have high standards for our guys, and that's who we are.
Yeah, that's good. When you talk about the guys that you have, and you know, you've had them for 2 or 3 years, some of them, who And obviously you're a sharp guy. Like I've had the opportunity to meet
Thank
you,
you.
chat with
Yeah.
you. I can tell like, you know, you're a leader, you're driven. You know, I think one obstacle people have to like overcome is thinking that nobody would want these type of jobs, right? So maybe for the person who is listening to this, what attracted you as a like driven, motivated person to say, okay, I'm gonna take this job. Okay, I'm here, and now I'm going to work my way up. And then who are the type of people who are going to be attracted to those types of jobs? And you know, speak from your own perspective of what you are looking for as far as growth. Because I think when we have to try and create that same opportunity, right? I think to myself all the time, I'm a driven person. I want to be successful. And if I came to my company as an employee, would I be attracted to it? Would I see potential there? Would I see the ability to grow and progress in my profession? So can you just speak to like what do you think is important in like creating that type of environment, and how do we attract those people? Are you a home service business owner that is trying to get off the ladder and work on your business instead of in it? Well, you need a robust CRM that is going to help your business to be more efficient and streamlined so that you can get your time back to focus on things that are going to help your business grow. Now, Jobber is going to help you to manage your client requests, your quotes, your jobs, and your invoicing. You can do everything all in one place and manage everything from start to finish. And not to mention Jobber payments. You don't have to chase around checks, try to go and collect cash, or wait for checks to come in the mail anymore. You can just get paid right on the spot with Jobber payments. If you're interested in implementing Jobber into your business, click on the show notes below and sign up for a free trial of Jobber. That's not it. Reach out to me. I want to help make sure that you maximize everything that Jobber has to offer so that you can get your business growing right away. Thank you so much, and let's get back to the Off the Ladder podcast.
Yeah, so I mean, thinking back to when I guess sought the job out, just kind of needed a job. I was, interested in something physical. Fitness was something I was into at the time. So I was like, hey, how can I, one of the things that my friend said was like, hey, we need some strong guys. I'm like, I'm a pretty strong guy, I guess. I'm sure I could probably do it. And so it's kind of a fitness aspect. I wanted something physical where I was outside. So that was kind of part of it. And then, I mean, personally, I've always had desire to, be successful, work for myself, and I just didn't know exactly how I wanted to do it, I guess. So kind of got into it, and where I used to work was just kind of, had a systems and processes in place there, and I was able to kind of navigate my way through, work my way up, where it was, driven leaders, will work their way up through the environment that is created. So trying to kind of replicate that, we have, clear hierarchies of, where you can move to as a manager, and positions and opportunities like that. And then kind of back to, if we when we find these guys, how do we, train, build their skills, and try to retain them long term, and create a job where they can stay at.
Yeah, I think what's important with that too is the ability to communicate vision, right, to your team, but then also have follow through on what those opportunities are. I know where I had failed in the past with hiring is, you know, I want to have this great, successful company that's growing and creating opportunities. But where I would mess up is I would create all of these, I would promise too much and then not be able to deliver on it, right? So I think there has to be this balance of passion and vision for your company's future and the future of your employees, but also be able to manage that in a realistic way. So I lost a lot of really great employees that I should have never lost. They should still be here working for me today, but because I failed on creating like the wrong expectations, I lost them. So I think when we talk about this process of like, you know, we want to bring great people in and we want them to see that they have opportunity to grow and move up in our company, I think what we also have to think about is how do we manage that? How do we manage that person's expectation of, well, what does that time frame look like? What are, you know, so like I had a meeting the end of this year and I said, hey, here are the opportunities, but each one of us plays a role into those possibilities. These are the numbers we have to hit. Hey, if you want to have the opportunity to move up into a production manager position, well, we have to hit these numbers, and this is where our net profit has to be, and this is how much you know, business we have to be bringing in, and then putting that ownership out there and saying like, we have to do this together as a team. It's not like, okay, well, you want to be a production manager, and I say, okay, that's going to happen in 6 months. But then I don't know that in order to get there, we have to hit certain numbers. Does that make sense? Like, it can't just.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, there's definitely a balance of, you know, you want to communicate your vision and what you, where you want the company to be at. But I phrase it as selling too much fluff to the guys, where it's like, hey, we're going to get you, you know, you're going to be running a location, you're going to be a general manager in the city, and we're going to, you know, you're going to be the guy and you're going to be making this. So it's like, you don't want to sell them fluff where they're like, hey, I don't think this is happening. And if they see there's fluff, they're not going to trust you, they're not going to buy in. So you have to, you know, find that middle ground. And I think it's what you said, is just having that transparency of being like, hey, you know, this is how much money we made, and this is how much we need to be making to get there. Because guys don't see that. They see, you know, big payments coming in for big jobs, and they think, you know, the business owner is rolling in dough, and they don't see the insurance payments, the, you know, license renewals, the registration, all this. So some level of transparency, I think, needs to be there, where we can communicate to them, hey, this is how much money we made, this is how much money we need to be making to get you there. And, you know, puts a logical perspective on it of, hey, we got to do more, you know, how do we do it? Do we do more marketing? We got to do something, because we're not going to just, you know, if you're not marketing or putting in the effort, you're just, you know, waiting to have a lucky, busy month. But, you know, back to those processes to get those results you need. But I think you know, being transparent and putting some logic into how do we get there with them, is part of having a strong team, and, you know, keep bringing everybody with you to the, you know, towards your goal.
Yeah. And, you know, another thing that I'll say is, it's a journey, right? To like, to grow a business and to create those opportunities and to give our employees those things that they're wanting for themselves. And the interesting thing is, like, it's not going to happen overnight, right? There's a lot that goes into that. And I think what's important and I've talked about this in previous interviews and with other guys, is I think it's so important for us as business owners to constantly be working on ourselves and realize, like, we can't take our employees and create those opportunities for them if we're not willing to go before them, right? And develop ourselves, to work on ourselves, to be educating ourselves, to be getting better, to be working on our business to make it better. And, you know, change things that need to be changed constantly. I know that's the journey that I'm on. Like, I have very clear and defined goals that I want to get to, But, you know, obviously there's a process that has to take place for us as business owners to get there.
Yeah, just having high expectations of yourself. I just had a meeting with somebody yesterday, and it was, that was kind of part of it. It was like, I'm up at 5 going to the gym. Like, I'm up for, 2, 3 hours before you get here, and like, I expect this of myself, and to get the day going, like, I expect this of you. And if I'm not getting that, like, this is, going to be here. So just communicating those expectations as well. And when you hold yourself to a high standard for what you expect, you're not gonna accept less from, whoever's working for you. And then they're gonna see you putting in that effort in, different areas as well. And it's just, contagious, comes turns into contagious energy, and really gets everybody going.
Yeah, it's important for us as leaders to kind of lead the way in all of those aspects. You know, that's something that I try to be very transparent with my guys about is, you know, like I let them know, hey, you know, this is what I do every morning. I wake up at 4, and I have a routine where I'll read, and then I go to the gym from 5 to 6, and then come home and you know, eat breakfast, get my son ready and all that stuff. But like that disciplined morning routine is so important. And I want my guys to see discipline, right? Self-discipline. I like to talk to them about books that I'm reading and podcasts I'm listening to, and really try to encourage them to be growing personally as well. You know, talk to them about, you know, their marriages, their relationships. You know, we'll have very, I'll get on the phone with my guys and we'll talk about, you know, very personal stuff, you know. And because I want them to understand, like, the more that you develop yourself, the more that you work on yourself and grow personally and as a leader, the more opportunity you're going to create for yourself down the road. If you're not willing to develop yourself personally, if you're not willing to invest in yourself to get better, then why do you think that you should have better opportunities, right? Those better opportunities are going to be going to those that are working for it, that are willing to sacrifice for it, are willing to put the work in. So I get frustrated with people who end up coming to work for me, and it's like they expect a lot, but they're not willing to put in the time, the effort, and the sacrifice to like to
Yeah,
earn it.
actions speak louder than words type of
Yeah.
thing.
And you know, I think that it's there's some people, I think they just that's not what, you know, they're just that's not gonna what be what they aspire to. They're never gonna get there. But I think the right people will, and I think it's important for us to live out loud for them to see our lives and to see that as like a model for like, hey, if you want to be successful, that you have to be different. You know, you can't just be like everybody else and do what everybody else is doing to have these better opportunities as well.
And when you have those expectations, law of attraction, those guys just end up finding them. And the guys that, you mentioned that expect a lot of you, they just end up not sticking around very long. They don't feel comfortable in that environment, and it ends up working out for everybody.
Right. Yeah. So we don't have too much time left, but let's talk about really quick as kind of like a closing thing. As I mentioned, just from the outside looking in, I can see that you're creating a great business, a great brand. Speak to like what drives you to build what you're building. It seems like there's like a level of excellence there. What's like that driving thing? What are you aspiring to create? Where do you see your business going in the next like 3 to 5 years? And what are you trying to accomplish?
Just really kind of back to what you said, have a set a high standard for myself, and it's just what I've always done as far as fitness, health, and now business, family, and life. I have a high standard for myself of what I expect, and every day I need to meet that standard. And for myself, just getting the business 3 to 5 years, hoping to really see some growth kind of COVID here. You know, we were really cruising along when we started, and you know, the last 3 years we talked about this is, you know, definitely a bit of a roller coaster ride with, you know, some, you know, a lot of good, some bad. And I think that as we kind of get through that, I was just talking to somebody this morning about it. I feel like anybody that ran their business through COVID has, like, you know, over a decade of a business experience condensed into, like, you know, the last 2 or 3 years, and that's
Sure.
really gonna, you know, catapult those business owners in the next few years. And you know, goal is just to grow the company one foot in front of the other has been the goal since we started. And you know, I'd like to expand into different other cities in the state, get into some interstate moving, and just, you know, one foot in the front of the other, make smart decisions, good investments, and that's pretty much it for now.
Well, that sounds good, man. I, like I said, just from speaking to you and seeing your business on the outside, it looks like you're creating something really cool and something that can be admired. And I know that starting and building a business is not easy. It's not for the faint of heart. I say a lot of times, you know, even for guys that have worked for me, I'm like, go out and try. Like they'll say, I want to start my own business. I'm like, yeah, go for it, you know? And I've talked to some of those people afterwards and they're like, man, this is so much harder than I thought it would be. Now I really like, now I understand why you were doing or saying the things you were. And I, before I just couldn't, you know, I didn't understand it. And so it's just, small business, man. It's commendable. It's hard work. It's not easy. But props to you for, you know, going through the challenging times and continuing to move forward and striving for more. And you know, I think that's what the entrepreneurial journey is about. It's facing those challenges, overcoming them, and looking towards the future and, you know, having that hope for something greater and putting the work in and striving for that. And it looks like that's what you're doing.
Yeah, you right back at you. You look like you're, you know, plugging right along, doing the same.
Yeah, you know, it has its challenges, its ups and downs. It's like a roller coaster ride, but yeah, for sure. Well, you know, I'll definitely stay connected with you, and it's like I said, it's really cool that you're right here in my market, and you know, so we'll have to stay connected, and you know, hopefully outside of this, hold each other accountable to like our goals and things that we're trying to accomplish. That's for me, I've found that that's really key in, you know, growing as an entrepreneur. I've been a part of a coaching program, masterminds, and you know, even for those who are listening to this, like don't try and do it alone is something that I would say. I'd say, you know, find people who are like-minded, who have either been where you want to go or are moving in that direction, and you know, definitely connect with those people and it'll help to get you to where you're wanting to go.
Yeah, it's great to share your vision with somebody and kind of get it out into words, and in what can be a turn into a little bit of a solitary lifestyle when you're running a business and kind of end up doing stuff yourself.
And that's when it gets harder, you know, is when you do it alone. So connecting is really important. And you know, like I said, it's gonna help you to get where you want to go faster when you're able to, you know, reach out to people who are trying to accomplish the same things and keep you accountable. Share like there's things that, you know, I've faced that maybe you're going to go through and I can help, or maybe there's things that you've been through. And you know, I need to talk to you and say, hey man, you experienced this, you got through it. What did you do? How did you handle it? How did you get through it? Because I think a lot of times as an entrepreneur, you can face these challenges that are unique to us as small business owners, and we feel like we have no one to talk to, nowhere to go. We feel like we have to face that challenge alone. And that's like, it's, you know, so much harder that way. And I found so much, I found peace and like situations where it's like, if you're trying to go through it alone, all you need is somebody to say like, hey, I've been there. It's going to be all good. You can get through this. And sometimes that's all you need is like just that mm-hmm. understanding of like, okay, you know, I can do this. This is yeah. possible. Someone else has done it too.
Or they'll point out what was an obvious solution that you might not be looking at because you have blinders on or something.
Yeah, for sure. Well, hey, Dan, I've got to get going, but it was a pleasure speaking with you. And like I said, I look forward to staying connected and probably have you on here again. Maybe we'll do a follow-up episode, see how your business is doing, talk about your goals and what you've been able to accomplish. And yeah, I look forward to just connecting as small business owners here in the same community. Any final words you'd like to leave the audience with?
I think we got through a lot. I'm gonna need a wake up text at 4 to get me up a little earlier.
Going there to the you gym. Go. You're right. Awesome stuff. Well, if you want that, I will definitely wake you up. I use that time to read and, you know, invest in myself. But anyway, I'm gonna close this out. Thank you guys so much for checking out the Off the Ladder podcast. If you're watching this on YouTube, please like, subscribe, turn on those notifications, share it with somebody. If you're listening on Apple or Spotify, please rate and review the podcast. That helps out so much. And share it with somebody else so that they can benefit from the wisdom and advice that's shared here on the Off the Ladder podcast. And we will see you next time on the next episode.